This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Hello, we know that 5 days of breakfast, it's really not enough. So
no.
Thank you for jumping on the podcast to have a listen.
Thank you, you hungry Hope Landers.
Yeah.
Thirsty? No, I guess if you're hungry, then you're starving for more.
I'm just
Laura
getting confused now.
Duncan.
But coming up on the show,
I could go a burger.
In this podcast that we have for you, yeah, burger would be good, wouldn't it? We do really learn a little bit more about where we're from. We did a DNA test.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, there are areas around the world that we now can call home that I didn't realize we could before.
It's funny because our breakfast producer is a little bit cranky about that, but I'm stoked to know that there's a new nation I can call home.
Look, she doesn't think we can lay claim, but we can. And also, there is one of the greatest debates regarding toilet paper that officially was solved this week. We get your thoughts.
Yeah, you're welcome. Because we solved it.
You ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Go.
Breakfast is ready.
Riding along in my automobile. My baby beside me at the wheel.
What should I name my new car? Yes.
What?
I have a new car. And if you were new to Hopeland, welcome. My previous car, little Lexi,
was a coal-fired 1732 piece of garbage.
Excuse me, she was from 1994. Yes, she was very thin around the edges.
She should have been laid to rest in 2004.
She was well looked after, and they said, block your ears, but she's getting squashed. They paid me $150 for her.
I think that's the healthiest thing for that poor car. It was time to put her down.
She was devalued, but you know what? Got my new little
I'm surprised
I-30.
She had any value.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan
on Hope 103.2. Officially.
Sounds wild. It's a show that brings together the funniest, most ridiculous, scariest, and amazing record attempts from around the world. I think we need to try and get ourselves cast on this.
I'm in. I'm sold. I don't need to be into musicals. I need to be into this.
Yes, it's called Officially Amazing. Coming to Australia, you'll be able to see US Ray. He's an American record breaker who's achieved some incredible world record titles. Okay, so he's done the longest backflip into a pair of trousers.
The only way to enter a pair of trousers.
Yes, he's made the fastest time to burst 20 balloons. It took him less than 4 seconds.
Wow.
Very impressed. And he's done the most star jumps in 1 minute. He did 77.
Incredible.
How does he decide which records to attempt?
It comes at random, to be honest. Like, even the backflip into a pair of pants, I was approached with it. One of my buddies gave my information to the producers for Guinness, and I got a random call, and they were like, hey, do you want to do a backflip in the pants? And I was like, yes, I do. As far as the balloon records and those came from being on Officially Amazing. And we're all just super competitive on the show, so it was just one of those I hope I do it better than the next guy type of deal. We're all just kind of competing. Luckily, I got to watch them try to approach it before I went, so I kind of broke down their strategy and just kind of jumped on all of them at once and made it happen.
Okay, so I'm thinking injuries right now because one of the records you went for was butt scooting. What kind of injuries have you had, like carpet burn on your tush?
A little bit. As fun as it is, you do get a little bruised up and banged up. Actually, I chipped a bone in my elbow from the balloon record.
What? How does one do that with balloons?
Well, because we were on a hard surface and the first time I went for it, I wasn't really thinking. I was just thinking, let's just pop all these balloons. But then, you know, I just pretty much belly flopped, but my elbow hit the ground when I did it.
Mm.
And I wish you could have saw the eggshell that was on my elbow after. It was incredible.
Oh. That just does not sound like much fun. So which record are you going to try and break next?
I want to do the most backflip burpees in a minute.
That's an insane workout right there.
A normal burpee is hard enough. How do you do a backflip burpee?
You just add a backflip after every single burpee you do.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so what is the one that you tried and failed at but you really want to have another crack at?
If I could choose one more to go after, I would definitely say one of them is the most candles blown out in a minute.
US Ray. You can find out more about the event at officiallyamazing.com. Okay, with so many politicians getting in trouble for dual citizenship, it kind of sparked some alarm bells for Laura and I.
Yes.
So we went away and got a DNA test to find out all the truth that might exist and whether or not there are any skeletons in our closet.
Well, most Australians, we've got a bit of European descent. So this is what I've been told, that I'm English, Irish, French and Welsh. That is the mixture that I'm expecting to see in my ancestry.
Okay, so all I know is that I am potentially English. Well, we've waited weeks for this and we've finally got the results.
Yeah.
Talk us through. What do the results say?
So there is a column that says genetic ancestry. There's some DNA matches and there's DNA circles. Apparently, I'm not in any DNA circles. I don't know what that is. My ethnicity. I'm 41% from Great Britain.
Okay.
22% from Ireland.
Yeah.
And I'm 37% other. I'm not quite sure what other is. And my genetic communities, I have one genetic community. Let me see what a genetic community is. I'm Southern English.
Ooh.
So I'll need to find out what that means. There's got to be a link that says more. Ooh, and I'm 14% from Europe West.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to turn my laptop around. Our producer, Ali, has logged me in already. Okay, so so my ethnicity is 31% Britain, Great Britain, 25% Europe West, and 20% Ireland. And I've got two genetic communities. English Midlanders and Northerners and Southern English.
Guys, I've just discovered that I'm 8% Scandinavian as well.
Ooh,
legit.
Wow. Okay, so yes, I'm 15% Scandinavian.
Really?
You know what, Laura? We actually share a lot of similarities because how much percentage Irish were you?
I'm 22% Irish and I'm also 7% Liberian Peninsula.
Okay, I'm 20% Irish. Are you Europe West?
Yes, 14%.
25%. And Great Britain?
41%.
31%.
Oh, are you trying to suggest that we're cousins?
Not cousins, but like we lived on the same street.
Contentious conundrums. Bothering botherations. The People's Court.
Now, we may have already put this one to rest. The debate of toilet paper. Do you put the free square over the top or do you let it roll out underneath?
Oh, let's be honest. We're aware of this. This is the over under debate.
It is. And the 124-year-old patent from the original guy or girl, I'm not sure, who invented toilet paper.
Have we been wiping our booties with toilet paper for 124 years?
At least, yeah.
Wow.
So he released the picture of the patent and it solves the debate of whether or not, based on the patent, your toilet paper should be stacked over the top or whether it should roll out underneath. Now, we're not going to tell you what his patent said because it's rude to tell someone if they're right or wrong before we ask you your opinion.
Well, and we've got to understand your logic behind why you choose over or under. I am vehemently an over person, Laura.
Yes.
If I see a toilet roll stacked under in I will actually take it out. Physically turn it around the right way. It is appropriate because you can stop softly on top, rip off the exact amount of sheets you require. It is the perfect way to set up a toilet roll. And I don't understand why it's a debate because if you're not over, you're wrong.
You've assumed that you're right. 1-300-40-2020, over or under. I very much go under because if you...
Well, I just made the perfect case. You meant to say, yes, sir, and move on.
Excuse me? No, because occasionally you go to get the toilet paper you want and you pull out a little bit too much. You're like, whoa, this scenario does not call for that much toilet paper. So to be able to easily roll it back up evenly on the roll, you want it underneath so that you can just go dup, 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 and it like spins back up and stacks neatly.
I wish we had co-ed toilets because I'd love to hear you say that in the stall next to me. Oh, this scenario does not call for this much toilet paper.
1-300-40-2020. Do you think it should be over or under? Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. It's definitely got to be over because if you have printed toilet paper, you're not going to see the print if it goes under.
Ah.
Agreed. Thank you, Kathleen. That's an obvious point,
if
yes.
If you are paying, what is it, like $4 a square for printed, that does make sense.
1-300-40-2020, over or under on your toilet paper.
Nathan, what do you think?
It's got to go over.
Thank you, Nathan. What's your logic?
It is just so much easier to try to take it and do everything that you need to do with it if it's over.
Hmm. I do I do bring back the point that if you get too much, you can't spin it back easily. If it's over the top, it ends up getting all tangled and wobble, like zigzaggy.
So your reason for having it under is because you are constantly aware of all the mistakes you make in the bathroom and you need to fix them easily.
1-300-40-2020 Morning, Wendy. Over or under?
Most definitely over.
Wow.
And to answer your point, if it's over, you can see what you're doing and you don't make mistakes, so you don't need to roll it back up.
Agreed. Gosh, you're so smart, Wendy. I really appreciate that.
I am losing this morning. Hello, Sean. Over or under?
Definitely over. 100% over.
Now, why is it over, Sean?
Because you're not wasting as much toilet paper.
Oh, my goodness. What is wrong with people?
Hopeland, your collective IQ is impressive.
Well, you know what? I'm referring to the article of the 124-year-old patent. Actually, make that 126 years old. Apparently, it's older.
Okay, so listen, what does the patent say?
I admit that I am wrong. Officially, it is meant to be over. That is what has been patented. That is what the dude said was right. And I don't like the idea that we have to listen to him.
Do you know what I want to hear from? I want to hear from a disruptive individual who, now that they know that the patent is over, why you will still continue to do under.
Oh, that's me. I'm still going to continue to do under because
even
it
though
makes
it's
more
wrong?
Sense. I don't care if it's wrong. It's what I want to do.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan
on Hope 103.2.
NASA, if you've always wanted to work for them, they're recruiting at the moment. They're looking for...
They call themselves the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, they do. They are literally looking for a Guardian of the Galaxy. You have to have the ability to protect Earth from aliens.
Yes.
And also, just note, you do have until the 14th of August to apply for this. So I hope you can make a CV pretty quick. But what they're wanting to do is get someone who can help avoid any organic constituent and biological contamination in human and robotic space exploration.
I feel like my years of computer game playing have prepared me for this moment. I have a few questions.
Yes.
Question number one, do I get to wear a fluorescent Lycra jumpsuit?
Well, that isn't specified.
Is there anywhere I get to wear a name tag that says Guardian of the Galaxy?
Again, not specified.
Do I have permission to wear my cape and underpants on the outside?
You're not seeing what is really required in this job, which is to have some kind of intergalactic knowledge of biology.
Incidentals.
Thoughts.
What's that, cerebellum? Prefrontal cortex? Would you like me to plumb you for knowledge?
Oh, grain matter. Wait, grey matter.
Consider that grain matter done. Let me pull up a thoughtful thought for you on this Thursday.
Well, by Thursday, we're starting to think of, you know, important things.
Deep, reflective, chasmic, thoughtful thoughts.
What is your thoughtful thought?
My thoughtful thought is this. Why do we put a round pizza in a square box and then cut it into triangles to eat it?
I wonder if pizza used to be a teacher's aid. Like, you know, like that's
for geometry.
Yes, teaching kiddies shapes.
What's yours?
My thoughtful thought. You know how you say, like, wish we could read each other's minds, right?
Yes.
If people could read minds. If two people were reading each other's minds, would they not just be reading their own minds?
And would they be having the thought, I'm reading the other person's mind?
Yeah.
And then they're in an inception loop.
I think this thoughtful thought is in an inception loop.
New release Thursday.
It is time to talk to Russ Matthews. He is going to be reviewing the film in cinemas today. It's called The Big Sick.
Are you judging Pakistan's next top model?
You know how we have arranged marriage in my culture?
Oh, my God, I'm so stupid. Can you imagine a world in which we end up together?
I don't know. I'm looking for Emily Gardner. She was checked in tonight.
There's an infection. We put her in a medically induced coma.
Coma.
You should call her family.
Thank you, Kamala. We're going to handle things from here.
I think I'm just going to wait anyway.
You guys broke up. I'm not sure why you're here.
I'm just going to stay for a second.
Good morning, Russ. It sounds like a romantic comedy with a bit of a difference this time.
Oh, you know what? It is completely surprised. Hey, how's it going, everybody? It was a complete surprise to me, honestly, from the previews and kind of the producer and even just kind of the premise. I wasn't really too excited going in. But I came out on the other side really pleasantly surprised. This was an enjoyable film beyond what I expected, especially because it is a kind of a different telling of a romantic comedy. And it's based on a true story of Kumail Nanjiani and his wife, Emily Gordon, and how they actually met. And him coming from a Pakistani background, his family immigrated to the United States, and then him kind of trying to be an aspiring stand-up comedian, but also kind of working through his cultural differences with the American culture in a way, and then also him meeting Emily, and then kind of their relationship and budding into a relationship, but specifically when she goes into the hospital, and he kind of helps him to determine what his feelings are for her, but also how this plays against her culture and also his culture.
Russ, honestly, I'm getting the pit sweats right now because this feels like unnecessary drama in my life. Is it good?
It's actually, well, the thing is that actually there's a pleasant surprise about it was that it was actually funny, too. So I really enjoyed it. I went in, it was funny. I mean, it's based on a stand-up comedian's life, so, I mean, there's so much just written into it. I mean, it's definitely for mature audiences based on the content and the language. But it's really an endearing story, and for most of the film, actually, Zoe Kazan, who plays Emily, is actually in a coma. So there's not a lot of romance. It's really
easiest role ever.
But a lot of it just comes down to the family, kind of the comedic family drama that happens between his family and her family. And it's kind of a mature look at kind of taking My Big Fat Greek Wedding to the kind of the next level as far as more mature audiences.
It sounds like a more realistic kind of love story on screen. Do you think it tells more of the truth of relationships?
Oh, I think what they're really able to show is both the beauty, but also kind of the warts and all experience that happens with kind of a budding relationship, and also determining kind of where they stand in there, and if they love one another, and if they're willing to kind of overcome some of their background issues in regards to that.
Okay, Russ. Well, listen, you've given terrible scores for Valerian and Atomic Blonde. Where does this one rank out of 5?
I couldn't believe it, but I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. I did not expect that going in, but I came out on the other side going, yep, 4 out of 5.
Russ!
It was actually, really worthwhile, man.
This sounds pretty good, Russ. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be back, and I'll see you in the movie.
Duncan and I have discovered that we have a unique skill set, Hopeland. We are able to tell you what you do based on what you eat in a little game we like to call Snack Files.
We'll tell you your job based on what you eat.
Yes, we'll tell you your job based on what you eat.
It is a ridiculously simple game. 1-300-40-2020. We are playing the tea edition today. So you call up 1-300-40-2020. You tell us the tea that you drink, and we will tell you the job that you work with. It's unconfirmed, 100% degree of accuracy.
Oh, it's pretty well confirmed based on last week's calls. I mean, we did have quite a good track record. Good morning, Jenny.
Hello.
Hello. What kind of tea do you drink?
I drink licorice tea.
Oh, well, normally I would leave the licorice lollies behind in a packet. So good to know there's someone who enjoys that flavour. But of all I know, what I know about licorice tea, Jenny, is that it's meant to be calming. It's for calming situations and trying to look after yourself when you have a stressful job, I think.
Okay, so based on that, I also feel like licorice tea is a little bit left of centre.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is an artistic design endeavour drink, and I feel like you're involved in some high-stress design art type work.
Are we correct?
Not exactly.
What do you do, Jenny?
I'm actually a midwifery consultant in infant feeding.
Health was going to be my second choice.
So
I
close
gone with it.
Thank you, Jenny. 1-300-40-2020. We did say that this had 100% success rate, and already we've been proved wrong. Good morning, Susan. What tea do you like?
I like Earl Grey. Mm-hmm. If I can get it, Gorgeous Geisha.
Ooh.
It's expensive, so.
Okay, expensive taste, but Earl Grey is very historical and grounded. I'm guessing something to do with books.
I feel like because it's historic and it's grounded, I feel like you're involved in finance and banking.
Are we correct?
Bookkeeper.
Get out of town, Laura!
Thank you, Susan. There is one for the win. 1-300-40-2020. Abram, good morning. You're drinking English breakfast?
Good morning, guys.
What?
So it's English breakfast, guys.
Okay, I'm going to listen.
I'm guessing you're not the English teacher or history teacher.
Okay, I'm.
No,
Abram, I've got to ask a couple of other leading questions. Do you have it with milk?
Dash, yeah.
Okay, do you have any sweeteners, honey, / sugar of any description?
I have two honeys.
Okay. Ooh. I'm going to say it's trade related. I feel like you work with machinery.
Are you a foreman?
We're on track. It's a spiky boy trade.
Oh, okay, that's a win. Thank you, Abram. That
back
is
in
two.
The game.
We got two. Okay, final call this morning, 1-300-40-2020. Good morning, Cindy. What do you drink?
I drink lemongrass and ginger tea.
Oh, well, you're obviously very health conscious because ginger and lemongrass is meant to be good for colds, etc.
Okay, Laura, I'm going to go out on a line here. Lemongrass and ginger tea. Here's what I feel like. You work in a high-stress environment at home. I feel like you're a mother and this is like your relax. You're like a stay-at-home mum.
No.
Our track record is not doing well this morning. What do you do, Cindy?
I'm a mental health nurse.
Oh, mental health. That's essentially what a stay-at-home mama is. You're a mental health nurse.
The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Oh, man, I could really go for like a loose leaf peppermint tea.
You know, here's my problem. I don't like tea, but I do like the teacups that you can put them in.
Really?
Mm.
But hot chai, I know that you drink chai.
Yeah, but chai...
Isn't that a tea?
Chai is my exception. Chai is a flavoured powder.
Oh.
Yeah, it depends what you go. Like, I can do a loose leaf chai, but it's very milky and very cinnamony.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, every time I offer to get you one, you're like, maybe. So you're not like a lover of tea.
No, I'm not committed.
Okay. I was never a fan of peppermint tea. Now I'm all over it. Maybe that's the tea of radio people.
Well, don't forget, if you have enjoyed this week, I'm just moving on.
Okay.
You can review the podcast. I'm thinking 5 stars is probably where it's at.
Yeah, I mean, you know, today was 4.5, 2.5, yeah, for sure.
Ish.
Snack Filers is a 5 in my book. It's hard 5.
Don't forget to review it, rate it, share it, and subscribe. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye. Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan, 6-9 weekdays on Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening. Start your day with life words. Subscribe to Hope 103.2's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.